The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys. And then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
All right, welcome to a brand new week. We're going to get the week started with a song from a friend in New Zealand.
You'll never know how much I tried to grift you. You'll never know how I'm your worst nightmare. Listen, do you want to buy top secrets? Do you promise not to tell? Traitor, I have got some Falder's hair, a few White House souvenirs.
Oh, yeah.
I've got stuff for you. Believe me, they're the very best top secrets. I'll throw ketchup in as well. I'm a poser.
A what?
Donate to my causes here.
Ah, okay.
Presidential racketeer. I'm in love with me.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Hee, hee, hee. Hee, hee. Hee, 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 hee, hee. That production put together by our friend Shirley Sherbon in New Zealand, school teacher turned YouTuber during the pandemic, a song parodyist. I don't know if she edited together clips of the former guy saying all those words strung together. Either way, very funny. All right. And that's about the extent of the humor that we will have today, unfortunately, because today we're dealing with a pretty serious subject, and the vote. Will your votes count? You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that liberals, Democrats, progressives have been screaming for years about the fact that our votes have not always been so scientifically counted. I mean, the opposite world nature of this travesty that goes on since, you know, the former guy came on the scene is that, you know, their projection shows, right? They're screaming about elections being stolen, votes being stolen, because they're doing the stealing, right? When we were screaming about people's votes not being counted, about voter suppression efforts, it was like crickets among the right, both the citizenry on the right and the media, because they didn't want to hear from it. When we brought up legitimate problems with votes being counted, with voting rolls being purged, they just didn't want to hear from it. But Donald Trump says, "The votes are stolen. I won." And then you would think, you know, it's the gospel. Well, it's the gospel according to Don the Con. Here we are. Today, the reason I'm talking about this is our guests today. We actually have two guests coming up today, both from Brave New Films. Robert Greenwald, who is the founder and president of Brave New Films, is somebody that I've sort of known for probably 15 years now. I've definitely followed him and followed his work, because right around the time that I started in political talk radio, he was starting making these movies. And apparently he'd been a filmmaker, and after 9/11, decided to jump head on into documentary film. I mean, he had done feature work before that, but he decided he was going to be a documentarian, and he founded Brave New Films in 2001. The first film they put out was called Unprecedented, the 2000 presidential election. And I'll tell you, that election was enough to make anyone doubt our electoral process in this country. Because, look, again, you know, the Democrats wanting to avoid civil war, I'm guessing, Al Gore, knowing that he probably was the legitimately elected president in 2000, didn't fight it. I've heard it's because he said he was afraid of the ramifications if he did challenge it, you know, becoming what Trump is now. That's my summation of the situation, but I think you can follow what I'm saying. So anyway, they then came out with a just a series of very pertinent, important films. Uncovered, the War in Iraq, Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism, Walmart, the High Cost of Low Prices. You remember all of these, right? Iraq for Sale, Rethink Afghanistan. I mean, during the years I was on Air America, we were all over this stuff. And then what? Something interesting happened, the rise of YouTube and of citizen filmmakers and journalists, right? So it'll be interesting to talk with Robert Greenwald about this and about the way his industry has changed with the rise of YouTube, with the rise of broadband. Right? Because when he first started in 2000, we had dial-up. You know, that's when I first, the first radio station that I was at tried to go, we made history, being the first station to go from over-the-air to internet only. But that was in 2000. We were way too early. We were too early because we didn't have high-speed internet access widely available then. And it was, you know, then the dot-com bust happened. So, yeah, we were way too early. But, you know, hey, someone's got to be first, right? Anyway, so now we see the rise of all these homemade film companies. And, I'm being a little too, I don't know what the right word is, but when I'm talking about things like the Lincoln Project or Midas Touch, they're pros as well. But they came after the internet revolution, so to speak. And so it's, you know, they started on a different footing. Anyway, we got a lot to talk with Robert Greenwald about. And we'll also be joined by Carmen Samuel. And she is the program manager and head of screenings for Brave New Films. And the reason she'll be joining us is because they have a very unusual and interesting business model. They release the films for free, but they ask you to host a screening to show it to a group of people. So we'll go through all of that when they join us in probably about 10 minutes or so. But, you know, speaking of the vote, I got to tell you what's going on. Again, I know I'm a bit Florida-centric because I'm here and because this state is this close to turning into Little Hungary, perhaps, since the Republicans are so obsessed with Viktor Orban and Ron DeSantis appears to want to be him. You know, he wants to be the ugly, illegitimate offspring of Viktor Orban and Donald Trump. And that's about what he is. But let me share with you this story from today's Miami Herald. It's the headline reads, you see his ugly mug there. Money talks. Of course it does. DeSantis goes after 20 voters, but is silent on FPL's actions. FPL being Florida Power and Light. You know, it's a monopoly of a power company, as most power companies are. And we learned that in the last election cycle, they, FPL, were behind those fake candidates that were put into these races as spoilers. And yet DeSantis doesn't say a word about that. We also know that there were some, Republican residents of the villages up in the Ocala area who were guilty of voter fraud. These were, I guess, in two or three cases, widowers who cast a vote for their dead spouses. Of course, a Republican vote for death sentence and his minions. Those people, I think, were allowed to, you know, do community service. These are people who knew what they were doing was illegal. They knew they were not supposed to vote for their dead spouse or cast a vote for their dead spouse for somebody else. Yet they did it anyway. That is breaking the law with impunity. But those people were not prosecuted. However, 20, I'm thinking all, if not all, then mostly African-Americans, felons who paid their debt to society, who thought because the people of Florida passed a constitutional amendment giving felons who'd paid their debt to society the right to vote again once they finished their term, we passed that overwhelmingly until DeSantis came in and put basically a poll tax on it and said, well, not really. But they need to pay any associated court costs or any fines or anything still outstanding before they can ever vote. Well, that's not what we voted for. That's a poll tax. And that's unconstitutional. So knowing all that, and 20 of them, he arrested. Not only did he arrest them, he did like middle of the night raids on real raids on their houses. One guy comes out in his underwear and says, you woke me up. Can I go put on clothes? No. They had armed police raiding their homes. They're like, what did I do? I registered to vote. I was sent a voter registration card. I was told that because this constitutional amendment in Florida passed, that my right to vote was restored. These people didn't know they broke any law, and frankly, they didn't. So let me read to you a little bit from this Miami Herald article. I'm underwater. I'm underwater again. The audio's bad. Ah, shit. Okay. Thank you for letting me know. Hold on. I'm going to make some adjustments here. Bear with me a second. It's more important to fix the audio than to do this. So let me, I'm going to make some adjustments, and I need you guys to tell me if it's getting any better. Hold on one second. Effects editor. I think I know maybe, what the problem might be. No. Cancel. That's not what I wanted. Maybe it's on here. No. What did I do? I did something earlier today, and I don't know what I did. Let's see if I can figure this out. Oh, wait. Maybe I can get it from here. No. From here? No. I'm working on it. Bear with me. Hold on. That's not it. Okay. Channels. I think it's here. Is it here? I bring that down, and then let me try one other thing. Okay, so chat room, you're going to have to tell me if that's any better. I have a feeling already it is, but let me try one other thing. All right, tell me now, is that any better? Yes, we have stabilized. Okay, I think that means there is no slapback on David Wendler. I don't know who you are, but hopefully that fixed it a little bit. Yes? No? Anybody? The poor show finds a new... Yeah, every week we have a new glitch, don't we? That is better. Okay, hopefully that did the trick. I'm going to try one other thing. Try it here. Is it here? No? Okay, a little better. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, I have yeses. It's getting better all the time. All right, so that seems to be better. All right. Fingers crossed. You tell me if it's okay. It's better. Thanks. Whoo. All right. So now back to this article. All right. Leo Grant Jr. couldn't stomach the bologna sandwich that guards offered him at a Palm Beach County jail on the morning of August 18th. Grant hadn't faced prison food since 2004, and he couldn't believe he now found himself shackled and then locked up for the crime of voting. Voting. That was a disgrace to me, said Grant, 55. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I ain't been to prison in 18 years. But at a campaign-style event later that day, the governor, Ron Death Sentence, denounced Grant and 19 other Floridians who had registered to vote and then cast ballots despite previous convictions for murder or felony sexual offenses that made them ineligible. They're going to pay the price, said DeSantis, who left Florida the next day for a fundraising trip to Pennsylvania and Ohio, two swing states critical to his expected presidential run in 2024, where he again touted the arrests. After spending 3 hours in jail, Grant returned to his South Bay apartment 25 feet from the railroad tracks in the impoverished heart of Florida's sugar-growing country. He's now facing 5 years in prison if convicted. The charges mark what DeSantis called the opening salvo of his new Office of Election Crimes and Security, which was set up on July 1st to investigate and prosecute election fraud. DeSantis, standing behind a lectern, said that election integrity, this is just the first stop. There's many more in the pipeline to election. His lectern read election integrity. While the governor and his new election police force have targeted people like Grant, most of them black, they have not similarly condemned or taken action against complex schemes intended to manipulate Florida elections and linked to one of the state's most powerful corporations. Here's what I was just talking about. Over the past year, Juneau-based Florida Power and Light, a multi-billion dollar company headquartered 43 miles east and a world away from Grant's small home, has been the subject of a torrent of news stories revealing how its political consultants funneled money through nonprofit groups and shell companies to manipulate elections and finance attacks on the utility's political foes. Election law experts told the Miami Herald Tampa Bay Times that the payments were a potential violation of state campaign finance laws that ban the use of straw donors to shield the true source of campaign funds, as well as federal tax rules for nonprofits. When asked whether those schemes would be investigated by the Office of Election Crimes and Security, Mark Ard, a spokesperson for the office, said, "Violations of campaign financing are generally referred to the Florida Elections Commission." Excuse me. Among the recipients of the funds was DeSantis's 2018 campaign. Go figure. According to leaked documents, his political committee received $25,000 channeled through a nonprofit that didn't have to reveal its donors. Isn't it interesting how those things work? You know, just so, so interesting. Okay. Going after individuals, though, with little means, several of whom told the Herald and Times they had no idea they were breaking the law, while not prosecuting sophisticated attempts to subvert democratic processes, is reprehensible. That from Marvin Dunn, president of the Miami Center for Racial Justice at Barry University and a historian of race and civil rights in Florida. Oh, you mean the subjects that are banned from Florida civics and history classes? Oh, yeah, that one. Powerful people rigging elections is far more dangerous than 20 people allegedly voting illegally, Dunn said in an interview. But power gets you privileges and exceptions that don't apply to the rest of us. Money talks. It continues. It goes on. This is just a huge, it takes up most, the whole bottom half of the second page. Obviously not going to read the whole thing, but let me just share a little bit more. The people who've been charged with voter fraud have no power. DeSantis is making them into props for his reelection campaign and his bid for president. This is this guy Dunn. Unlike the voters who said they didn't understand the law, FPL's executives and political consultants were clearly aware of the need to cloak their activities, according to a trove of documents leaked to the Herald. The documents come from Inside Matrix, an Alabama-based political consulting firm that worked for FPL until last year. They reveal an operation carefully choreographed with a consistent goal: take down elected officials who stood in the way of FPL's interests without disclosing the company as the source of the funds and leaving enough distance to allow FPL, its high-level managers, and its chief executive to deny involvement. It goes on and on like that. But there's also a segment that talks about fraud in the villages, and this is what I alluded to before. Hidden campaign finance schemes tied to FPL consultants at Matrix are not the only potentially illegal organized efforts that have not resulted in any action. That have not resulted in any action by the state as it vows to go after election fraud. No charges have been filed against Republican Party canvassers who, according to the Miami Herald investigation, switched the party affiliations of more than 100 elderly Miami-Dade residents to Republican without their consent. And a state ethics commission recommendation that the governor impose a $20,000 fine against Alexis Rodriguez, the Matrix-backed spoiler in the Miami Senate race. That's what I was telling you about, these fake candidates. Florida Power and Light was involved in that scheme to finance and put these fake straw candidates on the ballot to derail the elections, and yet Ron DeSantis isn't going after them. And more to the point. Going back to the article. Meanwhile, a series of arrests this past year in conservative retirement community of the villages involved residents who voted twice in 2020, once in Florida and again in a different state. This case was handled by the local state attorney before the state formed the Office of Election Crimes, which is currently relying on agents detached from Florida Department of Law Enforcement to do their investigations. Three people arrested, all between the ages of 63 and 71, all registered Republicans, all admitted to the crime. Prosecutors offered them plea deals that will leave them with clean records and presumably the right to vote. They must perform 50 hours of community service and get a grade of C or better in an adult civics class. According to court records, a fourth village's resident was arrested in January on similar charges. Not like these 20 people who were told by whoever registered them to vote that their vote had been restored by this constitutional amendment that we voted for here in Florida. Until the governor, Mr. Death Sentence, said, well, not really, because we're going to impose a poll tax and make sure these people never get to vote again. It is shameful. It is sickening. And yet that's where we are. And I thought that was a fitting introduction to today's guests. And I told you who we're going to be speaking with from Brave New Films. But I'll tell you what, one more thing before I bring in Robert and Carmen, I'm going to play for you the trailer for the film we're going to talk about, on the subject that we're going to talk about. The film is called Suppressed and Sabotaged, The Fight to Vote. That's the name of the film. So let's watch the trailer. I'm going to get our shot set up, and we'll be back with Robert Greenwald and Carmen Samuel after you watch this.
Driven by the big lie, we see states across the country passing laws that make it harder for some people to vote.
I did not realize that I had been removed from vote by mail.
The Texas legislature passed bills to ban drive-through voting.
If you want to understand how voter suppression can actually impact the outcome of the election, just go back to 2018 in Georgia.
Georgia's tight race for governor is getting national attention.
Stacey Abrams looking to make history by becoming the nation's first female African-American governor.
The Democrats are working hard, registering all these minority voters.
Civil rights leaders say Kemp is illegally removing people from Georgia's voters list.
The purges, they've been going on for over a century in this state.
A girl wanted to vote, and they were trying to keep her from voting.
The lines was crazy everywhere.
I tried contacting the Georgia Elections Board.
My vote would not be counted.
I'm 65, and for the first time, I did not get a chance to vote.
We are not going to let them take from us what our grandparents and parents fought to give us in the first place.
If 2021 was the year of rampant voter suppression, 2022 is the year of voter subversion.
insurrection has now taken root in our states.
On my mother's dying bed at 92 years old, former sharecropper, her last words were, "Do not let them take our votes away from us."
Suppressed and sabotaged, the right to vote, the fight to vote, from Brave New Films. And I'm thrilled to welcome, well, Robert Greenwald back to the show. And we'll bring in Carmen Samuel in just a moment. Hey, Robert, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Good to see you, as always, even if it's on distant Zoom.
Well, you know, that's how we do it these days. Plus the fact that I'm still in Florida and not in Culver City, which is where you're based, where I used to live. And it's one of my, you know, biggest woulda, coulda, shouldas. I never should have sold that house in Culver City. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, welcome back to the show. It's always good to see you. And I'm thrilled that you put this film out because it is so needed right now. So the film is available for people to screen, and we're going to get to that, how people can hold their own screenings and share this with you know, their networks of friends and fellow voters and all that. But before we get to any of that, Robert, I did want to ask you a bit about Brave New Films, because you've been at this for a long time. I was going through the timeline, basically, and your first film dealt with the 2000 election and what happened down here in Florida, where I'm sitting and sweating.
Yes, it's what's those painful lines about those who don't learn from history are forced to repeat it. We've seen that too often. But fortunately, we're able to do something other than get angry and throw the phone or the book at the TV set. And this film is a result of the amazing work done by the women and men at Brave New Films, who found the stories. And as Carmen and I often say, what we do is we put a face on policy, right? There are lots of organizations that do a great job, and it does take a village to create change. Our particular role is to give that policy a face. And then, thanks to the amazing generosity of our funders and foundations, we're able to offer it for free. So there's no reason that people can't screen it. And Carmen can give you the best details. And she's the person in charge of making sure we have thousands of screenings around the country before the 2022 midterms.
Great. Carmen, let's get you in here and say hello. Carmen Samuel, you're the program manager and you handle all the screenings?
Yes. Yes, that's me. Hello, everyone. Hi. Thank you so much. Thank you, Nicole. Right. So the film is available, free to use. Folks just have to visit www.fighttovote.org. That's www.fighttovote.org. There's the trailer that you just saw that's there, a synopsis of the film, and then the registration form. And right now we're just wanting folks across the country to use the film as a part of the Get Out the Vote efforts. A film is a great galvanizing tool. It's something to get folks to sit down and not necessarily have folks need to preach their intentions to folks and just say, hey, here's the issue. We want to make sure we're prepared in our state. Georgia is heavily focused on. However, this can be anybody in the United States right now. So we want folks to use it. It's free. It literally is free. No licensing fees or any kind of cost associated with using these films. We want you to use them. We want you to use the tools we have. We also have a discussion guide that follows the film.
Great. Now, when you say there's no licensing or anything, now I played the trailer. Would I be able to host a screening online for my listeners and extended audience without getting copyright violated because YouTube doesn't like when I play anything that I didn't create?
Absolutely. So what's going to happen is when you register your film screening with us, you'll get a link to the Vimeo form.
Right.
And then you can download the film from Vimeo as well as the discussion guide. And since you've downloaded it and you can play it on any other platform, YouTube, Zoom itself, you can use it on that as well. You can download, and we do encourage folks to download the film because then you have less glitchy issues with your stream. And so that's why we send you a Vimeo link.
Oh, I love it. Well, we may have to do that because this demands it. So let's get into the film a little bit. And Robert, I watched it twice. I watched it when you guys first sent me a link to the screener before your premiere, and you had an online premiere, and you had a discussion afterwards. And then I watched it again over the weekend. And this deals with Georgia, and Georgia. In the 2018 gubernatorial election, and we know what happened. It was the first matchup of Stacey Abrams and Brian Kemp. They're back at it this time, and that's when we saw all of these voter suppression efforts in action. We saw the long lines. We saw the people, and you introduce us to a number of voters who were, you know, thwarted. Let me play a clip for you guys. This, and I don't know this woman's name. This was a middle-aged woman who, here's the first time we hear from her.
I took my son to school that morning, and then I went to vote at Ferguson Elementary, where I vote every election. The line was so long through the school and wrapped around the building. The lines was crazy everywhere. All over the county.
It was real long.
I was in line for 2 hours. And I got to the door. That's when they was checking your ID before you go in. And she couldn't find my name. She directed me to go downtown Gwinnett. And I was like, I'm not going to vote. And it was this older lady. She came over and she like held my hand and was like, please go do it. We need this. And I looked in her eyes and said, I will.
Okay, so Robert Greenwald, we go through this story and we meet this woman throughout her day, and she spends all day trying to vote, right?
Yes. And we tried to do several things in the film. First, as I say, put a face on policy. Mm-hmm. It originally started out, Nicole, as we were going to do a 5-minute short after the 2018 election. But then we got story after story from the great team at Brave New Films coming into my office and saying, here's another person, here's a student, here's someone who just got their citizenship. And I honestly had this almost out-of-body experience thinking, first of all, if all these stories were about another country, we would be busy talking about we should intervene in order to save their election. And how many troops could we send over to get them the right to vote in another country? And then the horrors of the racism that are systemically built in. People gave their lives for the right to vote. People died. And now here we are with a version of this fight. But as Carol Anderson says, and this is very important, it's no longer men in white robes hiding someplace. It's pretty much out in the open. It's often legal or semi-legal. It's using the legislature, and it is day by day, month by month, taking away the right to vote. And when we started the film, people said, oh, you're a bit of an alarmist and it's not that bad, which is also what they said when we first did the film about Fox News, by the way, or the film about drones, or the film about Walmart.
Right.
But here it keeps going on day after day. And you know, again, fortunately, we're arranging screenings and Carmen's doing a wonderful job of making sure that it's seen all over the country.
That's great. And you do tell the stories of specific people. So you had filmmakers on the ground in Georgia expecting that the problems that they did have, that they would have. So this was sort of a preemptive strike. You were ready to just make some short films, and then you realized, well, this is a bigger problem?
Yes, we weren't quite that smart in terms of anticipating the level and the depth of the problem. But the minute reports came in after the election in Georgia, we reached out and found some local folks who were not only willing, but happy to tell us that, well, happy is too strong a word, were desirous to tell us the story,
to participate, to go on camera. Mm-hmm. And Nicole, every single one of them had friends or relatives or colleagues where they waited hours and hours, where the polling places were moved, where the signups were so onerous that it took days, literally. Yeah, I'm from New York. I don't shock easily, but it was and continues to be shocking and infuriating. But fortunately, there is something we can do about it. And one thing we can do is make this film available to people, show it on your show, do it with your friends, enemies, relatives. Mm-hmm. And it starts these, as Carmen can tell you, these intense, emotional, and upsetting conversations.
Well, and they're necessary. They're intense and emotional, but they are imperative that we have them. So the woman whose name, I didn't get her name, the clip that I pulled, we follow her throughout the day. She goes to the first place, the polling place. She drops her kid off at school, thinks in the past, you know, I'm in and out, it'll be quick. She goes, she waits for a long time, only to get up to the front to find out her name is not on the voting rolls, and they tell her she's got to go downtown or to the main office. She goes there, waits another 45 minutes to an hour, only to be told she's in the wrong place again. They sent her back to the original place. She goes on a wild goose chase, running around, trying to do what they tell her to do. Then she's finally sent to go fill out a provisional ballot. She has to go pick her kid up from school, goes back to get online, all because she told this elderly woman, promised her she would vote. She was about to give up. And this woman said, you can't. We need your vote. She said, okay, I'll vote. And so I want to play the last scene, just a short clip from the last scene, when she calls in to check on the status of the provisional ballot. She finally filled out and handed in at the end of this very, very long day.
Hi, this is Christine from Gwinnett County Elections.
I wanted to confirm if my vote was counted or not.
All right, what is your last name?
Kimball.
Let's see, there was no participation.
So does that...
You weren't given credit for voting.
My vote was not counted.
It looks like it on election day. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Goodbye.
So her vote, after all that, she spent the entire... She lost a day's worth of work, a day's income. That makes it a poll tax. And at the end of the day, after all those hoops she jumped through, after running back and forth, her vote was not counted. This cannot happen again. And yet when we raise these concerns time and time again, things like this happening, you know, from the left, we were poo-pooed. But Donald Trump alleges things happen like this, that the election was stolen from him. We know it wasn't. All of a sudden now they take that seriously, but still not these concerns. And that's a problem.
Yes, it is. And Carmen, maybe you want to talk a little bit about some of the screenings we've been having and some of the responses. I think it will encourage and inspire people to have their own. And again, as I say, Carmen's done just a fabulous job of arranging them, all different kinds of venues all around the country.
Carmen?
Oh, yep, that's right. We've had a ton of folks who have screened the film. We're up to about 780 screenings so far of this particular rendition of the film, the 2022 version. And we've had everywhere from Silver Spring, Maryland, at the AFI Theater Impact Group, screen the film, to folks in Texas and Arizona and other swing states. We're getting ready to have a screening in Pennsylvania with a group who is determined to have a counter screening to a more radical right group that's wanting to host a screening there. So we've got a lot of folks who are using the films as the primary galvanizing tool to bring folks together to talk about voting and voting registration and getting out the vote in their particular areas this midterm election. So we want folks to continue to use it in that way. And we're actually going to have our national screening actually with Center for American Progress. Okay. That's actually happening on this Thursday coming up. If folks want to RSVP, they can send an email to screenings@bravenewfilms.org, and we will certainly send them the RSVP link.
Okay, cool. I will put that on with where I post the show on today's blog with all the information that I give them. So this Thursday evening?
This Thursday evening is going to be 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, that sounds great.
One of the other things, Nicole, that I should make sure I mention is that a lot of times some people will do house parties in their home, but often people go where there is an audience already. What does that mean? It means a school, a church, a bowling alley, a bookstore, a place at work, a co-op, you name it, where there are people gathered. And very often having the film will increase the number of people because a film hopefully is one of the more interesting ways to interact. So keep that in mind as people think about where they can organize something and how they can do it and what are the ways to reach the most people.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned schools. What kind of reception do you get from schools? Because what I'm seeing certainly here in Florida is a complete shutdown of any honest teaching about civics or history or the American experience. They've put in a new curriculum here that is something out of the 30s. It's frightening. So are you allowed in schools?
Carmen?
Yeah, I'm gonna hop in and just say yes, we are. It you know, a lot of professors may not use it in the way that community groups would in terms of trying to get out the vote, but professors have used the film as a teaching tool to talk about civic engagement, to talk about ways in which folks do legally maneuver around the political system to sway a vote in a particular direction. It's used as a case study, so. Yes, we are in schools, but I would say these are probably in classes that are about political science, maybe public service, civic engagement. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, again, probably more at the university level than the K through 12, because again, right now, there, like you said, there are some laws out there that are now challenging what can and cannot be shown in the public school system. So, you know, we encourage folks that want to. They are absolutely, this is a 501c3 initiative, so folks are absolutely able to show it to their students. But, you know, take it case by case. And universities also love a good political dialogue.
Well, sure. So, I mean, I would think every university should show it. I'm thinking more about the high schools. That I think that's where you need to get these kids involved, and hopefully they have ways to see this. Look, they can go online and watch it as well. Now, in order to see this, though, you've got to attend a screening or host a screening. If somebody just wanted to go on YouTube and watch the film, could they?
Yes, they can. It is live on YouTube.
Okay.
We encourage screenings simply because we have some resources that you share with folks.
And the discussion and also, that follows is very, mm-hmm. is important.
That and, you know, registering with us and letting us know some feedback that you've had about the film really helps us to continue to offer it for free. So we do encourage screenings, but if folks really do just want to watch it individually, by all means, you can certainly see it on YouTube.
Cool.
And it's also on Facebook, it's on Twitter, it's on Instagram, it's on TikTok, full version, short versions, where there's every single platform has some way to watch all or part of the film. That's part of our job. And Carmen again and the social media, Josh has done amazing work. I mean, we've literally been reaching millions of people with social media in the last few months because there's a tremendous interest. And it could be a 2-minute clip and somebody says, oh, I want to see the full film.
Right.
So wherever you are, there is some way that you can take action and make a difference.
Great. Well, we're, I think, 57 days out from Election Day, so this couldn't be any more important, and this election couldn't be any more important. You know, I know we say that at every election, but it's true, because the stakes keep getting higher and higher. So we're speaking with Robert Greenwald, founder and president of Brave New Films, and I, at the beginning of the show, I was talking about how you've been doing this for a long time, and actually back, you know, I remember in the Air America days, you were, Brave New Films was on fire. You had uncovered the war on Iraq, outfoxed Rupert Murdoch's war on journalism, Walmart, the high cost of low prices, Iraq for sale. And it was, and you really, this was, people have to remember, you started before YouTube, before before we had citizen, before everybody had a video camera on their phone. This, you've been a filmmaker. You were a director, a producer before you started Brave New Films. But after the 2000 election, you decided to go into documentaries full time.
Yes, that's exactly right. I've done a lot in commercial film and TV, but I was constantly drawn to the true life stories, whether it was The Burning Bed with Farrah Fawcett,
right.
Which was a very deep emotional experience for me, and other films that motivated me. And so ultimately, I was fortunate enough to be able to make this transition, which I've been doing the last 15 years, which has been Brave New Films, and telling the stories that matter, reaching the audiences who can take action. But I want to be really clear, we fail unless listeners, viewers, watchers, activists get involved and use the films. They are tools. They are there for each and every one of you. We don't put them in movie theaters and charge $15 or $20, but they're out there. And now with all the different platforms, we spend a fair amount of time, as I was saying, figuring out what's the clip we should put on TikTok.
Right.
And in each of those areas, we're building audiences that can help spread the word.
Great. It is, you know, it's a model that you came up with. You know, the free distribution of these movies, which really I don't think was done before you did it.
And well, not too many people are looking to make everything free, so... We're in a small and maybe permanently small group. But again, as I said in the beginning, I'm so appreciative of the small funders. People give us $5 a month. The large funders, the foundations, the 170 different groups we work with, all of that comes together in the semi-cliche statement. It does take a village.
Yeah. But again, I want to make sure that I put a huge spotlight on the work that you've done for the last 20 plus years, calling attention to these really important issues by making these wonderful films, brilliant films, and just trying to get them distributed as widely as possible so everyone can see them and help spread the message. I mentioned Rethink Afghanistan, and that brought, I thought that, you know, you guys were just cruising along and doing amazing work. And that, I thought, came to a new level. You rode that one for a while, too. Derek Crowe worked for you on Rethink Afghanistan for the longest time. He became a friend. He later went on to run for Congress. He should have won. So you've had a lot of really good and talented people come through the doors of Brave New Films as well.
Including Jim Gilliam, who's sadly died a few years ago. But Jim was with us. He started Nation Builder, which we and many others still use. And I can remember so clearly the day when Jim walked into my office. By the way, I violated my rules with Jim because I try not to hire tall people. And he's like 7 feet or something insane. But he came into my office, and I remember it so clearly because at the time we were struggling to rent space online. And he said, you know, there's this new thing and it's free and you can put your films up. I said, what's it called? And he said, YouTube. I said, what kind of a name is that? And I went on YouTube and I looked and there were cats playing the piano and women scantily clad. I said, this is insane. Why would anybody? He said, let's try it. And we put up Iraq for Sale. And I remember 2 days later, he came back into the office and he showed me, you know, they had the counter at the bottom. We had 7,320 views. And I was ecstatic because I'm thinking 7,000 people in a movie theater would be insanely exciting. And that was, among many others, Jim's great contribution and our moving towards the model of free, free, and free.
And it's great. But so your work is on a few different levels. One, you've got to do the fundraising to be able to do the work at the caliber that you do it. And those are, you've got good donors, but I'm sure you're always needing more.
Desperate is not too strong a word, mm-hmm. but yes. And anybody who is in a position where they're able to donate, we would love it. $5 a month, more. If you have any questions, our amazing development executive, Kimber Kissel, you can email her, kimber@bravenewfilms.org. And we're always challenged because of the pressures and the needs. But we've been fortunate and we've been able to take on all the subjects you mentioned, the war in Afghanistan, where we lost lots of funding because many people felt it was wrong of us to criticize President Obama around the escalation.
Wow.
And then, you know, I went to Pakistan and interviewed drone survivors and we were criticized for that. But I'm thrilled and proud we were able to take on those issues.
Now, you went pretty quiet for a few years. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention or it seemed like you were quiet for a while. Now, all of a sudden, in the last year or so, you've been back with a vengeance. This film is just remarkable and I hope, you know, everybody watches it. Once again, I want to get the title out. Tell me, I don't have it in front of me. I'm all the new one.
Suppressed and Sabotage.
Suppressed and Sabotage. Thank you. The fight to vote. Did you scale back a little bit and then come back, or is it just my perception?
I don't know if we've scaled back on productivity. We did a lot of short pieces around the Trump years, because including one where we brought together the women who'd been sexually harassed by Trump, 16 women, which was like a 3 or 4 minute piece and, you know, got maybe more press than anything we've ever done. But we've certainly had to trim back staff and volume because of financial pressures.
Gotcha.
But I'm hopeful that we will be able to keep going and be able to have an impact, certainly with voter suppression and certainly with misdemeanors. Our film that's out now about the racial issues around misdemeanors and how it targets people of color over and over again. And, Carmen, which other ones are available now through your program?
If folks actually visit www.bravenewfilms.org/screenings, the number one, there is a list of all of the films we have available there. It's over 20.
Wow. So that's great. And I hope people do. And I'll put links to all of this on the blog. Their show will be posted at NicoleSandler.com/9-12-22. I always post shows by the date so people can find them easily. Robert, you know, you were the visionary. So many independent film production houses, indie boutique, everything from the Lincoln Project to Midas Touch and beyond, I think took their lead from you. You really, you know, you forged new territory here in this brave new world of online video and in fly by the seat, quick productions from your short pieces to the longer films. Do you pat yourself on the back every once in a while? Because if not, you should.
Well, thank you. You know, I'm pretty high up the scale on neurotic, so I'm not sure about how often the patting goes on. But I do recognize the extraordinary importance of my colleagues and partners, from Carmen to Kimber to Josh to Casey, who really make things happen. And I wouldn't be here and we wouldn't be here without all of their efforts.
Well, I'm so glad you are. And as someone who has followed your work and covered your work for the last 10 years or more, I appreciate it. I thank you. And I want to make sure that you know, I'm looking at the chat room now, and you've got a lot of very appreciative folks in here, too, who I'm sure, when we're done, are going to go to bravenewfilms.org and see the offerings and maybe sign up to host a screening. We will do one with the show sometime in the next couple of weeks, because it is just that important. But I got to say, all the films you do, you pick subject matters that are important. You know, what, 15, 17 years ago, more than that, you warned about Fox. You told everyone what was going on there. Did you ever think it would get to the place where it is now with Tucker Carlson and the propaganda they put out every night?
No, I never did. And in fact, again, I remember so clearly when we first did out Fox, there weren't progressive alternatives of any size and scope. And so I would go on show after show fighting with different hosts who were right wing. But also, remember back then, Nicole, as I had said before, liberals, Democrats, oh, Fox isn't so bad, and it's just a couple of rotten eggs. And what we were able to do with, and Jim Gilliam was a key part of that, we captured the video showing the hosts, showing them intimidating the guests, saying some people say, you know, over and over, the way they responded and treated and abused women emotionally and message-wise and people of color. So that was, in some ways, the technology allowed us to do that, because it wasn't just one of us saying, they are bad. It was showing the damn clips over and over again and trying to influence Democratic elected officials that, no, Fox is not your friend.
No. And now it's quite apparent. But, you know, once the fox is out of the or in the hen house, you can't save the lives. You tried. You warned us. And here we are today. It's just unbelievable. Robert Greenwald and Carmen Samuel, thank you both so much. Thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for joining us today, talking about this. I want everyone to watch this film so they can go do it on their own. Go on whatever your platform is and look for Brave New Films. Look for Suppressed and Sabotaged. And if you can't find it, come to my website, to the blog of today's show. I'll have it posted there. And stand by, because we will schedule a screening and discussion afterwards of it. Robert, great to see you again. Thank you so much. And Carmen, it was very nice to meet you. I really appreciate you guys, both of you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Nicole, for spreading the word. We would not be able to be effective if we didn't have friends and people like yourself who make sure that the films get spread. And I appreciate that. I appreciate you. And thanks to your audience.
Thank you so much. We'll talk again soon. I'll let you know when we have our screening.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. And there you go. So now you know your put it in your folder of things to watch. So the next time you have, and the film is shorter than an hour. All right. They jam a lot of information into about 45 minutes or so. So it's easy to watch. It's hard because the subject matter is messed up, because we shouldn't have to fight to vote. They should make it as easy as possible so we can vote. Things are backwards. Inside out, backwards. It's opposite world. We got to fix that. All right. With that, thank you. So you can watch it on your own or wait sometime in the next week or so, we'll put together a time. I don't know. I'll listen to you guys. Tell me, should we do it during the show one day, or should we do a special screening outside of the show? Think about it. We'll talk tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great night. Hasta mañana, baby. All right. I'm giving Progressive Voices a chance to leave us so I can leave you with the news. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The House and Senate are both back in session for a short 3-week jam-packed mini session before the midterm elections. There are just 57 days until Election Day. King Charles III officially became Britain's monarch on Saturday after taking the oath as the new king in a ceremony filled with pomp and circumstance. The king paid tribute to his late mother, the Queen, who died at age 96 last week after the longest reign in British history. The state funeral will take place on September 19th. President Biden will join other heads of state and dignitaries from around the world who've been invited to join members of the royal family. Meanwhile, a little further west, reports surfacing that over the past week alone, Ukraine is making great gains in its counteroffensive against Russia, having recaptured more than 3,000 square kilometers of territory, according to Ukrainian officials. CNN reporting that in the last week alone, Ukraine has captured more territory than Russian forces have captured in all their operations in Ukraine since April. Now, over the weekend, the Russian retreat continued from border areas that had been occupied since March. Villages within 5 kilometers of the border were also raising the Ukrainian flag. But retreating Russian forces are attacking Ukrainian power stations and other infrastructures as they flee. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky denounced what he called, quote, deliberate and cynical missile strikes that targeted civilians and amounted to terrorism. The attacks caused widespread outages across Ukraine. Separately, Ukrainian operators shut down the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in the Russian-occupied south to keep nearby fighting from triggering a nuclear disaster. Here at home, Americans gathered Sunday for ceremonies to honor the people who lost their lives in the September 11, 2001 terror attacks. Vice President Kamala Harris and her husband, Doug Emhoff, attended the ceremony in Lower Manhattan. President Biden attended a 9/11 ceremony at the Pentagon, and First Lady Jill Biden spoke at the field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, the site where a third plane went down. The annual tribute in light beamed two powerful lights into the sky over Lower Manhattan, where the Twin Towers once stood. All this as much of the nation is still sweltering under rising temperatures. Nationwide, 92 large active wildfires have burned more than 728,000 acres, the majority of them in the Northwest. Now, firefighters did make progress against a huge wildfire in Northern California that was still growing and threatening thousands of homes on Sunday, while crews also battled major blazes across large swaths of Oregon and Washington. Scientists say that climate change has made the West warmer and drier over the last 3 decades and will continue to make weather more extreme and wildfires more frequent and destructive. California saw a double whammy this weekend with both record rainfall and record heat as what used to be Tropical Storm Kay passed very closely to the state amid a record-breaking heat wave. Programming note, the Emmys are on TV Monday night, but there will likely be more drama as conspiracy theorist Alex Jones heads back to court this week for the second of multiple lawsuits filed in response to his lies spread about the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre back in 2012. A default judgment has already been ordered against Jones, so the trial will only determine damages. The first one, held last month, ordered Jones to pay $4.1 million in compensatory damages and another $45 million in punitive damages. Now, we can only hope this Connecticut judge has more advice for Jones along the lines of what the judge in Texas intoned.
You believe everything you say is true, but it isn't. Your beliefs do not make something true. That is what we're doing here. Just because you claim to think something is true does not make it true.
Yeah, that. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice has reportedly subpoenaed the former guy's senior White House advisor, Stephen Miller, and former White House political director, Brian Jack, in a probe looking at a Trump-supporting super PAC that was formed shortly after the 2020 election. The subpoenas are also reportedly looking for information on the failed fake elector scheme that Trump and his cronies attempted to use to overturn Joe Biden's victory. Well, the final primary elections in the 2022 midterm season are happening Tuesday as voters go to the polls in Delaware, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. After that, it's all about November 8th. Have you double-checked your registration yet? No time like the present. Go to vote.org. And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.